Ho, ho, ho! Welcome to the Drunk Dude Podcast. I'm John.
And I'm Steve.
And Steve, what's this here podcast about? Ho, ho, ho.
This is the podcast where we drink, we watch Doctor Who, we drink, and we talk about Doctor Who all while drinking.
That's right. And today, ho, 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 what are we going to do?
Celebrate Hanukkah?
That's right. With our special friend.
Yes.
Friend of the show, Denise.
Hello, Denise.
Hello.
Hello. And Denise, you know what? You know, while you're here, can you please tell the people? I know you are one of our premier members.
Yes, of course.
What kind of like benefits do you like best from your level?
Absolutely none.
Do you like it like the foot massage? What? Or do you prefer what? When Steve comes over and just like blows a leaf off your lawn?
She's got a cat. I can't come over.
Well, that's why you blow the leaves off her lawn, because you wouldn't go inside.
She lives in an apartment.
I go inside. I just take an antihistamine because you know what? Yeah. I take care of our premier members.
I don't
members.
Know what you're talking about.
Mostly, I prefer the sexual favors.
Okay. That's well that's the cat.
That is definitely John.
So
sign up for premier membership.
That's right.
If you want John to bring a leaf blower to your house
and, yeah,
with an antihistamine,
don't ask.
And do sex things,
don't tell.
I wasn't paying 100% attention to this bullshit.
Do you have
bullshit.
Any idea what you can do with an antihistamine?
You
put it in an ice cube first, and then, well, Steve, I'll show you in slides later. Today we're going to discuss an episode of Doctor Who. A special Christmas episode of Doctor Who. Woohoo! And it's Series 7, Episode 0, because that's what we like to call these Christmas Episodes 0.
Okay.
Makes sense, right? Because today we're going to talk about... Oh, and today it's Episode 97.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow.
The Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe. Steve?
Yeah, oh, God damn it.
So what do you think this is about?
Well, I already said that it's about, I think the last episode I said it was about the Doctor chaperoning a dance and making out with another chaperone in what he called his wardrobe, but it was actually the TARDIS. So it's obviously not that. So I'm going to assume it is literally their version of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and it's going to be a thinly veiled Christian allegory, and eventually the Doctor's going to shave a lion's head. And then sacrifice it on an altar.
Did they do that in the Witch in the Wardrobe?
The only thing I remember about that was Turkish Delight.
Which is disgusting.
I know.
And which our members of the master level or above can have a Turkish Delight delivered.
So that is something for me to aim for?
Oh,
I
yes.
am not a master.
Yeah, you know, you're not the master level. You're a Romana level, but that's okay.
You know. What level?
Steve, don't pretend. Don't be coy. Yes.
About your made-up nonsense.
So okay. I wonder what we're going to, like, see today, if any of that comes true.
It's just going to be so on the nose that it's going to kind of, I'm going to guess, annoy us and not delight us.
In a Turkish kind of way?
Yes, Turkish delight, which apparently if you have the rose water version, it's much better than the pistachio version. I don't know. It's gross. Edmund sold out his brother and sisters for garbage desserts.
Yeah, you know, anything that has, like, rose and flavor, I don't understand.
Yeah.
That's not something I choose to eat.
Well, there's also pistachio version, but
well, those
still...
are the actual nuts, though. I don't mind having nuts in my mouth. We'll just let that stay there. Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
Yes.
Yeah,
please
apologize
for laughing audibly.
No, she apologized because it just wasn't that funny. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
welcome.
You. I'm petting Denise right
so
now.
If John is a premium subscriber to Denise, so she laughs at his lame jokes.
It's
is that
true.
How it goes?
It's true. He pays me a lot of money.
Wow.
And sexual favors.
So basically, you guys are breaking even with this bullshit.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
So I think it's a time of the... It's that very special time of the episode where we have another drink. It's called Toast Time.
And this is...
The Drunk Two Toast of the Episode. Be careful, Denise.
Got it.
This is...
I didn't mean to fill it up so high.
This is cinnamon whiskey.
It's cinnamon whiskey.
Okay.
It's not tequila.
Denise,
who's doing the toast today?
I did not have anything.
Okay.
We were going to go.
So,
Esteban.
McClunky.
McClunky.
Oh, that's spicy.
Do you mind it?
No, it, well, as a shot, maybe.
Right, well, as a shot.
As a sipping beverage, sure.
I've long been a proponent that you add a shot of cinnamon whiskey to hard cider, and it's delicious.
That does sound good.
Yeah, I bet you.
By the way, I was delighted by the fact that within hours of Disney Plus going live, McClunky was trending on Twitter because someone decided, I'm going to watch A New Hope first, and then they noticed, like, wait, they tweaked this goddamn scene again?
I would just call it Star Wars, because when I was born, it was just Star Wars. It didn't become A New Hope until it was re-released in 1981, Steve.
Yes.
Yes.
That early?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know it says it on the crawl.
He's been tweaking it since, like, literally right after it was released.
Right, and it wasn't that long ago that I actually watched my copy, which did not have McClunky in it, because it's several years old.
So. McClunky was done just for, like, the 2011 3D re-release, and... If people who are listening don't know what McClunky means, it's a reference to right before Greedo gets shot, he just says the word McClunky.
First.
Yes. McClunky, and there's no subtitles. And it's like he's calling out to his Irish forebears, like, for strength. Like,
McClunky!
It's his clan from the Highlands. I'm getting all sorts of things wrong.
Oh, no, there's reasons for it.
There are no Irish Highlands.
No, I know. It's Scottish.
Yeah.
There are reasons for it, but they're nonsense.
Yeah, he's speaking Huttese and blah, blah, blah.
They actually say McClunky, I think, in Phantom Menace.
Yeah, one
really?
Of them. Yeah.
Is it like a swear word or something?
It's like
I'm going to kill you now.
It's like, I'm going to bring death upon you or destruction.
Geronimo, McClunky.
It just sounds like McClunky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm sure McClunky is soon to be on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And, you know,
can't wait for the McClunky toy line.
And starring, let's just say, who's the asshole from Silicon Valley?
Judi Dench.
Dame Judi Dench as McClunky.
No, you're thinking of T.J. Miller.
T.J. Miller as McClunky.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whiskey
McClunky does,
in my head.
Does sound like a 70s cop show.
McClunky, turning your badge and gun right now.
McClunky and Orr.
Wait, who's Orr?
I don't know. It's a 70s cop show. There has to be a buddy. McClunky and Orr.
Well, I was going to say McClunky and Solo.
Wait. What, is Orr a robot? Or is Orr a dog? Or is Orr like a recent immigrant to this country? But wait, if it's from the 70s, probably a racist immigrant from the country. he's like an Asian guy, played like some like white guy and like, you know, yellow face or something. Uh-huh. So yeah, so we've gone way off on
a little bit.
Tangent.
And we've been talking for way too long.
So
you can cut it all out.
I'm going to.
Oh, or not.
I'm just waiting for a good moment of silence to reset.
And now. So, hey people, we're going to watch a Christmas episode of Doctor Who. And you know what? We're dropping this episode on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
How fun is that? So thanks for coming by, Denise, and like
Thank
recording
you.
This episode. We're going to be back after like the sound effect
they
of like...
Just,
what?
They can just keep listening and they'll...
Well, they can keep listening, but there's going to be the whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
If you'd like to pause.
If you'd like to pause and watch the episode.
Or if you want to
hopefully you're not in your car.
Plus 15 or something
No, I think it's only like 9 seconds. So.
No, I'm going to thank our viewers.
What?
Our premium subscribers.
Oh, your master list.
Yeah, the master list.
Which
almost
sounds like Master Race, so I'm not entirely comfortable with this.
Steve, you came up with the title.
What?
What? Okay, so hey, we'll see you on the other side.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. We just watched an episode of Doctor Who. How about you, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
And Denise?
I did.
I mean, I was in your house on the couch with you guys.
Captive.
So we watched
it. Yeah, but did you really watch it?
No, yeah, I did. Uh-huh. I paid attention. I tried to pay attention and everything.
Okay.
Take notes?
No, I never take notes.
That's true.
As people who listened to this show before know, we don't take notes.
We go back and forth. Was there like one episode we actually stopped? We had, like, checked.
Yeah, we stopped and had to rewatch something I don't remember.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, no, I think we need to check that. And so we checked the tape, and then the judges said...
Check the tape, old man?
Then the judges said that the goal was good.
I think what the rewatch, the brief rewatch, said that you were right and I was wrong, but I don't remember.
Well,
exactly,
I wasn't
going
to say that. I'm glad you remember.
Was it the
it,
one where they went to the diner and not? Because that drove me nuts.
Yes. Yes, it was.
So they had gone to the diner and then went to the thing? Because I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
It was the season 6 premiere. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Because I kind of wanted to yell at you because I thought you were right and you were wrong.
Oh, maybe I was right. John was like, who
whether
cares?
It came like before or after the credits or whatever.
Yeah,
was,
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So
we watched this one, and
what do you think?
It wasn't. Honestly, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, let it sit for a while.
The happy ending I found a little annoying, but then again.
Try.
Yeah, I tacked on happy endings I usually don't like, but it is kind of a kid's show, and it's a Christmas one.
Yeah.
So you can't have it be like, yeah, the husband's still, well, I guess you could have had the husband still be dead, but yeah, it was,
like this is like
overall, I honestly thought it was good. I thought the people who, the actors all did pretty well, so.
The kids were good.
I want to Google after this the piano episode of Black Books with Bill Bailey.
Bill Bailey, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He goes on tour and stuff with his piano.
But there was an episode of Black Books, I don't know, Denise, if you saw it.
Yeah, with the
where
music,
he
yeah.
learns piano somehow. And
becomes
it's,
immensely proficient
it's
immediately.
Awesome. Anyway. Okay. John, how you doing?
I'm good. No, yeah. It's just like, I remember the first time I watched it, it felt very emotional and like, you know, and everything. And then I just realized, I'm like, oh God, it's so fucking treacly.
Treacly, that's the word, yes.
But again, it's like Christmas treacle.
Treacly.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody hates Steve.
You're right, it is very Christmassy, very, very positive, very much in the line of with this naivete, joyful doctor that we've got.
Stephen Moffat.
Yes.
The executive producer.
Yes.
Showrunner. Writer of this episode. Said of this episode, quote, he wanted to make the most Christmassy Christmas special ever, end quote.
So they should have gone back to like year zero.
Where
Bethlehem.
Was Santa?
Yeah. Where was baby Jesus? Santa should have delivered baby Jesus.
Out of his Christmas cloaca.
So let's just... Should we go back over it?
Yeah, let's talk about the episode. What happened?
It starts out in, like, the most ridiculous... The doctor is in an exploding spaceship running around.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah, it's
dun,
totally dun, a Star Wars homage. And then the doctor... Basically, the doctor is... It's like the scene in the action movie where Tom Cruise jumps out of the plane trying to chase down... Every movie that Tom Cruise is in. There's... what's this executive decision, I think, when Schwarzenegger jumps out of a plane, catches up to a parachute, straps himself into that parachute, pulls the parachute... So he's parachuting down, and then a jumbo jet takes a U-turn to go back to him, and he shoots he's chicken with the jumbo jet and like shoots into the cockpit and
right movie, wrong name.
What is it?
It was the one with Miss America.
Wasn't that an executive decision?
No, executive decision was the one with Kurt Russell.
Oh no!
No, this is the one with it was great where he kills the
alligator. Collateral damage?
No. He kills the alligator, and it had Tom Arnold
Vanessa
in it.
Vanessa Williams. No, it didn't have
Tom Arnold. No, the guy from,
Denise is frustrated.
The guy from Murphy Brown.
Oh, yeah. Why am I supposed to know that name?
No, because we watched
what
the fucking movie. No, it was the movie where, like, he goes and, like, saves people from, like, being, he's like the ultimate, protecting your identity guy.
Okay.
He brought like
ultimate protecting your identity guy.
I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That is actually how he spilled.
You've been saved, and it had James Caan.
Yeah, it had James Caan. He was piloting the airplane, the jumbo jet, and then Schwarzenegger shoots it with a handgun into the blows out the windshield, and then he basically survives. And it's just dumb as hell.
No.
So anyway, the doctor's plummeting.
Yeah. He plummets.
It's collateral. I said it. It's collateral damage.
No, into a spaceship.
Yes, Steve. Collateral damage.
It is.
You said executive decision.
But then later on I said collateral damage.
I missed it.
And then it turns out he's on the ground.
Yeah, he lands and some lady in like an old like car is driving around or something. Oh no, she was in a bicycle and then she crashed. And you called her Mary Poppins?
She looked a little with the outfit. She looked a little like Mary Poppins.
She had the hat.
Yeah,
yeah. And so then she, yeah, the doctor puts on the spacesuit in mid-flight and ends up, I don't know how he survives the impact of the Earth.
Yeah, they don't show that.
Because it made quite the crater, and she finds him, leads him around, and...
He has his helmet on backwards.
Of course he does.
He thinks he's blind.
And then she runs in, checks in with her house and talks to her kid, Cyril, and explains all this stuff in detail, and then... leaves again, and then the dad comes down and says, "Hey, Cyril, where's your mom?" And he just goes out instead of saying, like, "I'm going to find the police box for this guy who fell from the space and
out."
Yeah, out. And then she brings him to the police box, and it turns out to be just a regular one, so she has to bring him to another one. But in the meantime, we find out she's a mediocre driver.
Yes, ha ha.
Women drivers.
Run into things.
Women's be driving, right, guys? Thanks for high fiving me, Denise.
Wow.
So then we cut to credits.
Yes.
And he's like, "Oh, if you ever need me, just let me know."
How will I know? Just make a wish.
Make a wishle.
And this is some bullshit because we've seen the doctor show up for people like years later when they need him after he sees them or whatever. Yeah. And then the doctor, It seems like Make-A-Wish, they need something else.
Yeah, unless you're Wilf or something.
A bat signal or something.
Yeah, I've never understood the logistics of summoning the doctor when you need help.
Yeah, because she probably...
He just constantly monitoring?
Yeah, I don't know. And then it was like, "Oh no, you were just in like a roller coaster. You didn't need help. You were just stressed for that few minutes."
Well, and he doesn't say at any point that he, you know, throughout the episode that he was doing it because they needed help. He was just trying to give them a magical Christmas.
Before, like, the shit goes down.
Yes.
So, yeah, after, we come back from credits.
After
yes.
credits, it's 3 years later. Yes. The we're at war.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because before it was just kind of like, "Oh, war's going to happen. Oh, my gosh.
Daddy's going down."
Yeah. Daddy is in a plane that is going down into the English Channel. And it's almost Christmas, and then we go to the house with the mom.
And he's
mom.
Like, "No, I'll be home for Christmas. Yeah. I love you, dear." And he, like, touches her picture.
Yeah.
"Oh, Madge. Oh."
And then we go to Madge and the kids. Was it Lily?
Lily, Cyril and Madge.
Yeah.
Arwell. And she's like sitting in bed just like crying.
Yeah, and she's got a telegram from the War Department telling
her. "We're so very sorry.
Your husband is dead."
Stiff upper lip.
Yeah.
"Don't tell your children he's dead yet."
Well, she didn't want to tell
Christmas will suck.
Yeah, she didn't want to basically ruin Christmas for the rest of their lives. She didn't want them to associate Christmas with their husband's death. So I don't know when she was planning on telling the kids.
So it's like, let's go to the country for Christmas.
And here's the Christmas in which Mom lied to us.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Dad's been stuck in the channel for weeks.
So much like how in, I don't know, let's just take a random British book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
That's
the
very
kids,
random,
the
Steve.
Kids were sent... Due to the bombings, they were sent to someone's estate, a relative's estate.
Uncle Digby.
She's leaving and taking her kids with her. She's leaving the populated area because of possible bombings. Because
she's the widow.
And she goes to a church. And who's in that church, John?
Well, it's not a church. It's a house.
It's a mansion.
Who's in that church, Denise?
The caretaker.
The caretaker, who happens to be... The dot. Why? I don't know.
Well,
how
I don't
the,
know. It's not a church.
I don't know why.
That's why
I'm
confused.
It's not a church?
No, it's a house.
Well, I don't know why you're quizzing us.
I don't know. I was thought I'd include you and not just have Steve talking.
You know, it was Downton Abbey. So the kids went to Downton Abbey for the weekend.
Downtown Abbey, like
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah, because that's the 40s. I assume all those people from Downton Abbey are all dead by then.
Right.
You know, okay. They've all died from syphilis, like the gout or something.
So anyway, the caretaker opens the door, and what do you know? It's the doctor.
Yeah.
Fumbly bumbly.
He's really excited to see them.
Oh, he's manic AF.
Yeah. He takes them on a whirlwind tour of the place and shows them their room, which is...
decked out in
Insane shit with no room for beds, but he pulls a lever and there's hammocks and it's just all sorts of 1940s nonsense and toys and shit. And then he ends up showing them where the Christmas tree is, and there's a giant present that is pulsating light and whispering at them.
And they said, don't open it yet.
It's like, well, no, you can't open that till tomorrow. It's like, I don't know if I would want to open that ever.
Nicole Kidman's in there.
Yes.
with her dead children. Yes. That's what was going through my head while I'm watching this. Maybe they're dead already.
That was a good movie.
Yeah. Was it called Dead Again?
No, The Others.
The Others.
Yes.
Yeah. That was creepy.
We just totally spoiled. But it's like it's like 20 years old.
Guess what? They're dead.
It's 20 years old. It's
so dead.
I think it would still work. It's like The Sixth Sense. You can know the twist and it still works as a movie.
No.
Okay.
Or like The Happening. We were just watching The Happening today also.
Oh, that's later. Oh, Jesus.
You know,
that's
like when the trees talk to you and there's no wind. Get the fuck out of the forest.
Oh, yeah.
The trees are trying to kill you. Well, the trees are always trying to kill you, aren't they? Denise?
Well, me personally?
Yeah, aren't they?
Yeah, well, I have a particular few that are not my friends.
Okay.
I know,
right? Denise suffers what we like to call tree blindness. She doesn't actually see trees. She just accidentally walks into them. It's a rare medical condition. We are raising money for it.
So if you become a premier subscriber,
oh, that's not a thing.
Please send Denise to a special home.
She just needs special glasses.
Even the furniture is made of concrete. So she doesn't accidentally bump into it.
She's right now in a cheap home where everything's made of cardboard.
Trees are not friends.
Are they food?
Oh my god.
Trees are stumps.
Trees are friends, not food. Okay.
Anyway,
where were we?
The little kid crawls into the box.
Oh, yeah, basically in the middle of the night. The doctor's up playing with wires.
Because that's what he does.
The widow is up crying herself to sleep because that's what she does.
Yeah, she tells the doctor, my husband has died and I don't want the children knowing about him being dead for Christmas. And he's like, right, so we want to make it as happy for them as possible. That's why I'm here, biatch.
Yes.
You know, anachronistically, he called her biatch.
Yes, weird.
So weird.
And then Cyril gets up and he has a torch and he's wandering around and he goes down to the present and...
Guess who can resist a glowing present?
Nobody. Not especially Cyril. Like some like 6-year-old kid or something.
With the most giant magnifying glasses. Yeah.
He reminded me of the kid on the Haunting of Hill House TV show.
The whole time I was just like, how hard is it to look through those glasses? Like, what is the poor actor doing to his eyes?
That's what I was thinking too. Like, how does he see? And then Lily ends up in the attic talking to the doctor, basically confronting him like, hey, what the fuck is going on?
What is that big box? He's like, whoa, that's my wardrobe.
Yeah, the police box is the wardrobe. So I was right in a way where the...
I didn't even get that.
Yeah, the doctor said, I actually said in one of the last episode, you know, everybody will remember, of course. I'm sure they make note of what I predict is going to happen.
Which last episode?
96.
Tom Baker?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where I actually predicted that the doctor would go, well, I predicted he would take a widow into there and make out and call it his wardrobe, but whatever, make out with her as he chaperoned a dance or something.
What the hell are you talking about?
Nothing. So, yeah, Cyril ends up crawling into the present as and the doctor's kind of sensing this in a weird way, but not really paying attention to it because he trusts the 10-year-old girl to go check on her brother, and she just like looks into the room and goes, yeah, he's still in there, he's still in bed.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, let's go check on this together. And then he pulls back the blanket and notices that he put it like a teddy bear in there.
Yeah, in the meantime, Cyril like crawled into the box. And then he comes out in a snowy forest on the other side.
And instead of Mr. Tumnus, he just sees Christmas balls.
Yeah, touches tree balls. Yeah.
Magic Christmas ornament.
That is hanging from slime.
He pulls it off the tree and it grows... His heart grows three times the size.
His ball grows three times that day.
His ball went through puberty. Mm.
And broke open, and then we cut back to the doctor.
Yes.
Well, the kid, like, left.
Kid ran away.
He went out the box, and then he went back in the box.
He noped out.
And then, like, yeah, the doctor and the girl show up, but and it's kind of like...
But then, yeah, Cyril goes back in the box, and he's like... I can't resist.
What's in the box?
So I've
been dying
back in.
To tell you.
Yeah, I jump back in.
It's mom's head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He jumps back in, and then he goes in and out of the box like two or three times, maybe. He's very indecisive, but it was a cool looking special effect of like the box floating in midair
in the
forest.
But they never actually showed any of them trying to get out of it because the box ended up being like 4 feet above the ground.
Kid would have struggled. Cyril would have struggled.
I think he was a strong little kid.
I don't think he had the upper body strength.
Okay.
So yeah, then he wanders into the woods and the doctor, takes Lily and they're like, and the doctor's like, oh shit, I left this really dangerous thing out for children to play with.
What do you know?
Assuming Christmas Eve, it wouldn't open this giant dangerous thing early. So he goes
in
there.
Well, he didn't think it was dangerous. He's like, it's the nicest planet in the world.
Yeah, but come on.
Yeah, it's the doctor.
It's the doctor.
Yeah. So then they go, yeah, Lily and the doctor go, or the caretaker.
Well, the kid sees the open egg and follows the little footprints.
That get gradually bigger.
Right. And then the doctor and Lily follow Cyril's footprints, which is following the other footprints,
yep.
which gradually get bigger, not Cyril's.
No.
Not Cyril's.
His footprints stay the same.
Yes.
It's and
tiny little boy footprints.
They end up at a tower.
Yes.
And Cyril goes in, and there is a... wooden
tree man.
Thank you. A tree man in a throne, and he just kind of looks at this and goes, "Huh, cool," and then starts walking up the stairs
as one is wont to do.
Yeah,
the floors and floors of stairs.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wouldn't have made it.
I would have been like, up there or something.
Right.
I would have looked up there and been like, "No, I'm good," because that's a lot of stairs.
Well, he was a normal weight.
True.
I mean, we're a little chunky.
He's also like six.
Right, yeah.
Or
right.
eight.
That like, boundless energy.
Yeah. So,
He goes upstairs.
And we see the tree man blink.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in the meantime, then the mom is going, it's like Christmas morning, because the doctor's already established.
Is it the morning?
Yeah, because the light was coming in.
Yeah, okay. Time travels differently in the box.
Yes,
yeah.
It's different in the box.
It was like Christmas morning, kids, and then she goes in the box, and then, you know, it's still night there, and she's like looking around, where's my children? And then an aviator, no, an avatar finds her or something.
Oh, yeah, this was truly unexpected, where three people beam down and, like, point guns at her.
Halt, who goes there? She's an enemy.
It looked like a giant, like, AT-AT foot comes down.
Pretty much.
They, like, pop out of it. And it's one of them is, as we talked about earlier, Bill Bailey, who
yes.
I know from Black Books.
Won't you come home, Bill Bailey?
I know him from Hot Fuzz.
Was he in Hot Fuzz?
He was the twins.
Oh.
And I actually had tickets to see him in concert, but I could not go.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, this was a long time ago, but that would have been so cool.
Yeah. He's with a woman and another dude, and they're confronting her, and they're like, oh, scan her for weapons. It's like, oh, she has a weapon. Oh, wait, no, she doesn't. It's just she has natural fibers.
It's a sweater.
It's a wool sweater.
Yeah, they're from the future. She's from the past.
And then
she's a time-traveling wife.
And she starts talking. It's like the year 5435 or something.
Something like that.
And so she starts...
Whose baseball numbers are those, Steve?
They're not. I really was trying to remember them.
Ooh.
Well, 35 is Frank Thomas, but 54 isn't anybody I know. Well, 54, I guess you could have a football number, Brian Urlacher, but...
Dude, you don't watch football.
I don't. I just know that one because he's like a Hall of Famer. Anyway, my nephew's a big fan.
Uh-huh. Anyway...
Is he like Cyril?
Who, what?
Cyril.
My
nephew? Is
your nephew
like Cyril?
No, he's like 16 and taller than me
now.
Oh,
Jackson. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so, she starts crying and being like, I'm just a mother looking for my children. And
And the one dude starts crying,
too. Yeah, this was a funny scene.
He's got mommy issues.
And the woman puts the gun down. She's like,
got woman issues.
Because she's like, no. Well, she's
yes,
like,
empathy. empathy. Yes. A woman's issue.
Well, that's what she kind of said. He's like, he's got mummy issues. She's got woman issues. The other guy's just got Bill Bailey issues.
Yeah. And so they, like, put their guns down and because they realize she's just a grieving mother who's worried about her kids.
And then she pulls out a gun
and
at
she
him.
Pulls out her gun and says, "We're at war, motherfuckers." Uh-huh. It was a great scene. Like, I genuinely enjoyed this whole exchange.
Yeah. Yes.
So, in the meantime, Cyril is, like, being slowly stalked by the tree queen.
Oh, yes.
With a crown, and the doctor and Lily catch up with him. They see the tree, and the doctor starts to figure some shit out, and he runs upstairs. And then, in the meantime, the mom is taken into the, what I would call the AT-AT. But
oh, no. She had them under control.
Yes.
She dragged them in, and they were, the two men were getting taped to the,
that's right.
to the poles. The woman was free to...
Yeah, the woman crew member was actually helping.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because lady power.
Empathy.
Yes.
Yes.
And she's like, "Well, take me to find my kids." And the woman is like, "I don't know how to drive this fucking thing. Those guys do."
And it's like, and you know what? And the forest is going to be melted down with acid because that's what we do.
It's acid rain, which harvests the trees as the greatest fuel source in the universe.
Power.
Something like that.
Weird.
Trees.
Yeah. Your tree blindness. You're so bitter and angry.
They just spring out of nowhere.
Where they jump out in the middle of the sidewalk.
Yeah, right?
You'd think, because you see holes where the trees go into the ground, you think you would see those and avoid them.
You'd see wrong.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then I think they get beamed out.
Yes.
They?
There's an alert saying acid rain in 5 minutes. They beam me up, Johnny.
So why, why send that, like, big expensive AT-AT walker down there if you're just going to acid it up?
I don't think it.
Who were they?
Yeah. Why were they there?
I assume
Did they sense life forms and they're just like, "We're going to protect the life forms"?
I assume they were ExxonMobil executives or middle management who went down just to make sure that the forest was clear.
They had a
life form sign, which turned out to be this woman with her and worried about her kids.
Oh, before that, they did scan for life forms, and that's how she found out that there were some other life forms, and they plugged in and were able to listen
Somehow they were able to eavesdrop.
So then that's how she knew it was her children and the doctor discussing how much they miss their mommy.
And that mummy will come for us.
Mummy will come for us.
Because the acid rain starts. And I actually thought, I'm like, this is ridiculous. They're going to do all this shit in 5 minutes. It's going to be like movie time where it's like, "Oh, we have 5 minutes left." And it's like, "Oh, no, well, like 30 minutes of the movie has passed." But it actually ended up the acid rain started. And then they're all talking about mummy coming to save us. Yes. Like, mummy is coming. Mummy is coming. And then, God damn it, what happens, John?
Well, the whole thing was like foretold because the tree people were just kind of like, "These people are going to come and save us," because that's why the little boy showed up, but he was too weak.
Yes, so the little boy gets crowned by the wood lady.
It just knocks him out.
And she talks through him.
She talks through him and says he is weak. And she does a little exposition there about how they're using us for fuel, and these little twinkly lights on top of the trees are actually
the life force.
Stars.
Yes, exactly.
Their souls.
And
souls.
They're looking for somewhere to go, but this little boy is too weak.
So the doctor's like, "I'm strong."
Yes.
And they're like, "No, you're not." And he's like,
"No, really, I am."
And so he takes the crown and holds it, and he goes, "He can't handle it.
Owie, owie, owie." And the girl grabs it. The girl's like, "Huh.
It tingles a little bit."
Yeah. I know.
And he's like, "Fuck you, it tingles?"
It's like I'm sitting on a washing machine or a horse.
Dude, she was like 10.
No, she was older than that.
She was like 13 at least.
Yeah, 12? Exactly. But like, so she wasn't strong enough, but then Mama shows up
in
the
mech.
She was
strong but young.
You know, the bad driver shows up and the bad driver.
Mama's listening in and she hears like Cyril being like, "You know what, mom will come for us. Mummy will come for us." And she's just like, "God damn it, I will." So she figures out how to drive the AT-AT, the AT-18.
Because she saw her husband fly a plane once.
Right, exactly.
Hey, she's smart.
She's very smart.
Not good at, I assume,
driving.
Parking.
So, true, because she gets all the way to the
there,
tower.
But it's when she wants to stop.
It's like she's going, and apparently it's very hard to drive given her expressions while she's trying to pull the levers. And then
it was some bad green screen.
And then so she's right at the window. She can see her children. She can see the doctor.
They can see her.
They can see her. And everybody's Mummy is here.
And yeah, she can hear them, and now they can hear her, too.
Yeah, and remarkably.
And then all of a sudden, the goddamn thing falls over.
The doctor's like, let me go check on her.
Well, at the very beginning of the episode, we saw when she tried to park by the police box, she hit a tree or something. And now when she tries to park
tree blindness too.
When she tries to park the walker, it fucking collapses. So it's just parking. She's good. Okay. It's just the stopping and parking thing.
Yeah, she's a lady.
Yeah. Oh, ouch.
Yeah. Denise can make that joke.
Then she comes in, she goes, that rain, it's acid. Don't go out there.
She has a cloak on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's holes in it from the acid rain that they didn't penetrate.
And so she runs up and they're like, she's like, I'm strong enough. And she volunteers as tribute.
Tree looks like a lady. Oh, oh. Tree looks like a lady. And then...
I wish I had more beer.
Yeah. Well, you could pause it.
No, we're good.
Okay. So then, she puts on the thing and she sucks all the tree's spirits in her.
Yes. All the little lights float around her head, which was a really pretty effect.
Yeah.
Because what is it? Because she's the mother ship.
Oh, yes, right. That was the pun.
She's a mummy.
She's the mother.
Are you my mummy?
The doctor makes a pun about mothership. And so all the tree lives go into her. And then she flies the vortex.
The whole thing detaches.
Yeah.
The geodesic dome of the spire.
It looked like a giant golf ball on top of a giant tee.
So the golf ball gets whacked.
Yes. Gets whacked. Yeah. Giant Tiger Woods comes up and hits it.
And it goes through the time anus.
Yes. Goes through the timey wimey. Vortex.
Oh, didn't he say humany womany at one point?
Yes. Spoiler.
Sorry. So sorry.
Spoiler for 2 seconds into the episode past what we're talking.
You're just bitter because you didn't know what they were doing because of your tree blindness. You're like, why are they wandering around this field so awkwardly?
There's so snow everywhere. What's all the snow?
What is he holding?
All those weird little holes in the ground in the snow.
Why is the crown just floating?
Who's talking?
Okay. because now the mother's flying.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the doctor's like, picture where you want to be. Picture your home.
There's no place like home.
Yeah. Picture where you want to be. And then so she starts picturing her husband. And my thought was, she's going to end up in the fucking channel.
That's where you met Daddy.
Well, so suddenly, all her images are being projected onto a screen of some kind.
The window.
Yes, the window. So,
it was magicky-wagicky.
So she's picturing her husband, how they met. And,
which was
know.
Creepy.
Oh, yes, that's right. Her, how they met was, he followed me home, and then he followed me home some more, and then he said he wouldn't stop following me until I married him, and I didn't want to be impolite.
Yeah, it's like, well, courting in the 30s was much different than,
in the 20s at that point, I think.
Because it took place in 1941.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah, maybe it was the 20s because the little girl was 10 or 12. So.
Either way, it was creepy.
Yeah, it was so creepy.
Right. And she goes, I don't want to watch him die. I don't want to watch him
die. And the kids are like, what?
Mommy?
What? What?
Yeah. What the hell, Mom?
Daddy?
And so she is holding the telegram. And then they end up in a giant ball of light that is their spaceship. They appear over the English Channel.
Yeah, because where we cut out, where we assume the dad plunged into the channel.
Yeah.
He comes out and goes, I'm sorry, dear. And all of a sudden, a big gold light showed up.
Yeah.
Follow that.
And so, we don't see that yet. But then we see them landing and the doctor goes outside to give them some privacy so she can explain to their children that their dad's dead.
Well, they've seen death because now the tree people are dead too.
Right. They've good just point. Become part of the stars.
That's
John.
Right. They weren't dead. They were just no longer had any life in them. How did he explain that?
So that makes them dead?
But suddenly the trees left her head. The essence of the tree people were just magically gone and we never saw that. But
they're part of the stars.
I honestly thought that when she landed the trees were going to become trees on Earth, and
I did too.
So what happens when some dude just chops it down because he wants to build a house? Like, what's going to happen? Like,
it's probably why they made it part of the stars.
Should we feel guilty?
Yeah.
I think that's why they did make it part of the stars. It's easier. And so the doctor leaves. She's trying to explain to her kids about their dad's death. And the doctor comes back and he goes, hey. And she's like, dude, I need a moment. Just...
I'm telling them about their father dying painfully and disgustingly.
No, but come outside. But come outside.
I want to tell them. I've been dying to tell them.
No, but come outside.
She's like, God damn it. I need a fucking moment from your, like, manic...
Madness. Yeah. Doctor dust?
Caretaker.
Caretaker,
yeah.
So, yeah, they go outside and there's the plane with just the husband walking out. I assume the other guys were like just, you know, taking a nap.
Giving CPR to the Halifeld who's
waiting for their cue. Yeah, so the dad walks towards is like, oh, yes. But as soon as they flash back to the pilot or to the dad in the cockpit and he said, there's no light, there was no stars. Or this is when she's explaining what happened to their dad.
Yes.
And there's no stars, there's no moon that night, so it was dark. And I'm like, God damn it. She saved the husband's life.
With her magical glowing ball of light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then it's all of a sudden Christmas Day and they're all at the house. Because
Daddy's alive.
It's the four.
Daddy's alive, smoking a pipe and wearing a sweater.
It's the early 1940s. I assume there's a lot less paperwork to fill out when you follow a giant ball of light that lands in the middle of a field in a city.
There was torchwood then, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Probably.
And so, yeah, and there he's in the attic with the TARDIS and she comes up and goes, no, dude, don't. Come back. Come back down for Christmas.
Oh, you were the guy.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. She recognizes
him. Yeah.
You were a space angel.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I got to go. All my friends think I'm dead, so I'm going to go be alone. And she's like, dude, what the hell?
It's Christmas. No one's alone at Christmas.
And he's like, no, I am. And she's like, no. The problem is that you let your friends believe you were dead at Christmas.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, that is kind of a dick move.
Pretty much.
And so then he's like, hey, watch me zap out of here. It's cool.
Yes, and then Daddy comes up and they watch the doctor zap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're like, we cut to knocking. Here.
Yeah.
Oi! These are Christmas carolers, I'm going to like shoot you with a squirt gun. Oi!
And then Amy answers the door and she's got a fucking squirt gun.
And she fucking squirts him.
Yeah.
And you're dead.
Yeah. And she's like, what? You were dead. And he's like, she's like, you're not dead. And he's like, yeah, I know I'm not. How long has it been? She's like, 2 years.
And
fucker.
Squirts him with the gun.
Yeah. It's awesome. I just realized
like someone else who was thought to be dead on Christmas Day.
Jesus?
Is not dead. Well, that would have been Easter, Steve.
Okay, whatever.
No,
what
the
about?
Dad was like dead.
Yes.
The doctor was dead, but like, she knew she wasn't dead because she's like, River told us you're alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, River told us.
Yeah. She's not going to hug you.
She's a good girl.
I'm not going to hug you. Oh,
I'm not going to.
And they had that cute, I'm not going to hug you. Well, I'm not going to hug you.
This disappointed me. Not disappointed me, but I thought it would have been better if when she goes, I'm not going to hug you first. And he's like, well, I'm not going to hug you first. I wanted Rory to run in and just like jump into his arm.
When you said that, I wanted that to happen.
I wanted that to happen so bad. But then eventually they start to like laugh at each other and then they embrace. And
then Rory shows up.
And she's like, oi, Mr. Pond.
Yeah. And
which
Rory
sounded close enough to Mr. Bond to throw me off for a second.
Then Pierce Brosnan shows up.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan. That's who everybody thinks of as Mr. Bond.
He's handsome.
Well, they all are handsome. It's James fucking Bond.
Yeah,
he's got a beard now.
Does he?
He's all salt and peppery.
Salt and
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, yeah. So
I wanted to make a joke about Denise not being able to see his roots because she's because of her tree blindness. But it's a hair and roots thing. Never mind.
I
know you get it. It's just whatever.
Well, they invite him in for dinner.
He's like, Rory's like, oh, wait, he's not dead. We knew he wasn't dead.
Yeah.
We set a place for him. We do it every Christmas because it's Christmas.
Oi.
And then she squirts him again.
Oi.
Yeah.
And then he goes in and what is it?
He's
what is this you call crying?
Yeah.
What are these tears on my eyes?
I understand now why you cry.
I understand now why you cry. And he gave them a thumbs up.
Anyway, he very doctor-y, giddy little smile shuts the door.
Because, and it is earlier on, he's like, humans are amazing. They cry when they're sad and they cry when they're happy. And he's like, oh, happy tears. And then the doctor cries happy tears.
Again, Terminator.
I know, yes.
But this is the doctor.
The doctor-nator. I come to indoctrinate you. You indoctrinated.
It was the very...
I'm going to bring a PhD to your door. The doctor the doctor is in.
What?
It's funny because it's stupid.
Yeah.
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 I'm saying it's funny because I said it.
So it was...
I need some weed.
Maybe some edibles. We only have beer.
Yeah, well.
No, it was the very first episode. It was Rose, where we described it on this podcast as the doctor coming in and going, come with me if you want to live. Because yes. He comes in and just bursts in the door and grabs Rose's hand when yes. A bunch of mannequins or plastic men were about to kill her.
They're autons, Steve. Jesus Christ.
Oh, Christ. Whatever.
What is wrong with you?
Several things.
Controlled by the big essence. What is it?
Nesting consciousness.
Nesting consciousness.
Yes.
Yeah, they won't be back. That's not foreshadowing.
What?
I'm sorry.
I assume everything is coming back.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the doctor. Yeah.
It's all cyclical.
So that was the episode.
Yeah, well.
Now that you've talked about it, do you still like it?
It's fine. It's. I'm trying to remember all the Christmas episodes, but I don't remember all the Christmas episodes.
It was very
episodes.
Much a feel-good episode.
It was. Yeah. I was actually, like, feeling the feels when she was, like, thinking about her husband and flying through space.
Yes.
But the second I realized they were going to, like, make the husband not dead, I was like, oh,
yeah, that was like,
yeah, it's a Christmas episode.
Again,
kind of
like, yeah, it's like, it's just manipulative and
yeah.
So maybe you feel dirty.
But I was
it.
Like,
you can feel sad and happy.
Sappy?
Sappy.
Yeah. But no, I liked it. I thought the kids were good actors. It was definitely better than the Michael Gambon one.
Yes.
Christmas Shark?
Yes, Christmas Shark. Yeah.
Leave the chum out by the chimney.
Yeah. Santa Jaws.
Santa Jaws.
So, yeah. What did you two think? You've seen this before. What did you think? Because you haven't seen it, I assume, since it aired. And you thought
no,
it was...
and I liked it more than I thought I did.
Okay, good.
I do think I agree with you. It was better than Christmas Jaws.
You both had very negative reactions when just seeing the title.
Because it's treacly. And perhaps at the time I watched it, I wasn't in the mood for that. I mean, it is Christmas now, so maybe we're in a holiday spirit. I don't know. But whenever I watched it first, I was not willing to tolerate the joy and Christmases-ness. So I wasn't willing to put up with it as much the first time I saw it. And now I think it's kind of sweet. And now I think it's kind of charming. And now I think it's a little too convenient and a little too easy. But it's very much a doctor episode.
But it's Christmas.
Very much a Christmas episode that may not be fully canon.
And it's very much of this doctor with his naivete, with his joy, which is craziness.
His mania.
You know?
Yeah.
Mania, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
When Tennant got a little manic, it usually had like negative connotations. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like, I am Dr. Victorious. Like when he got energetic, like species died, it felt like.
Yeah.
But this doctor, it's more almost more innocent.
Yes.
I think.
Very much innocent.
Yeah.
But not really.
No, yes.
Well, you guys already guessed about Bill Bailey.
Yes.
Yeah.
His character was named Droxil.
Droxil?
Droxil.
That sounds like a prescription medication you'd see a commercial for.
You know, and if it causes hemorrhoids, stop using Droxil.
That's a hell of a side effect.
Well, I know. That's why you want to stop using Droxil.
Are you suffering from tree blindness? Try Droxil.
Yeah, baby.
But you might get hemorrhoids.
That's all right. He's pretty cute.
Yeah, so he was Manny in Black Books.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which you guys already got.
Yes.
Other stuff that interested me, He was three episodes of Spaced. He was in three episodes of Spaced.
Yeah. Okay. He was the friend. Yeah.
He was the voice of the whale in the 2005 Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
He was? Oh,
the whale that, like, you know...
The 10 yeah. seconds of the whale?
Yeah. 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 Oh, look at that planet. It's I wonder if he's friendly.
Yeah.
This thing coming towards me, it's round, it's so round, sad. Round. It's the ground.
It's so sad.
And he was Sergeant Turner in Hot Fuzz. Yeah, remember, he was the twin, because remember, like, sometimes Simon Pegg's character would go in, and he'd be all, like, you know, clean-shaven, or, like clean, and then, like, he'd go in another time. He was, like, the one who was, like, you know, when Terminator went, he was like, I'll be back, and the guy behind the glass, and then he'd be all disheveled another time.
Right.
Okay.
He was twins.
I haven't seen Hot Fuzz in a long time.
So good. It holds up really well. Oh, no, really I know.
It's
well.
Good. Yeah.
Madge.
Yes.
Her name is Claire Skinner.
Yes.
She was in the opening titles.
She was. Was she?
Yes.
Oh, I missed that. Well, she was in the Sleepy Hollow movie, the Tim Burton version.
Oh, okay.
And she was in Bridget Jones's Diary in 2001.
Huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all that was really...
I've seen both of those things. I don't remember her.
She
in
played
them.
Magda.
It's, I still
in Bridget don't. Jones's Diary.
It's probably a romantic rival for Colin Firth's character.
Maybe. That's all I really... You know, she works a lot.
You know what I appreciate about her?
What?
Is that they did not give her eyelashes.
Oh.
Because those of us with super pale complexions, basically, we disappear into our skin. Basically, we have no eyelashes. We have no eyebrows or anything. And we're not wearing any makeup. And a lot of shows tend to put a lot of makeup on you. And this didn't.
So it's like they're overcompensating sort of
thing? Well, no, it made it very much a product of its time.
Yeah.
It made it feel very current to the time it was in. You know, obviously women aren't going to be wearing a lot of that makeup. And I really appreciate how there are people on TV, there are women on TV, who are so pale they don't have a lot of eyelashes.
Well, I assume back then, if someone wanted to have false eyelashes, they'd be like tarantula legs.
Yeah,
or
but I mean, there
literally
was
tarantula legs.
No mascara or anything on her. I liked it. I mean, obviously there was.
Speaking as a dude with long, luscious lashes, I didn't even notice.
I did as a very pale person.
Oh, I didn't say I wasn't pale. No, I thought she did a really good job. So yeah. I don't remember her in those other two things, but I enjoyed her work in this episode.
Alexander Armstrong, he was Reg.
Reg.
Yeah, Reg Arwell, the husband.
Okay.
This is his third time did on he Doctor
look,
Who.
Did really? He look too old for her as a couple?
No, or he looked very broad.
Well, she didn't look all that young either.
No. That's true. That's no. true.
You know, but like the third time, because technically the first two times was he was portraying Mr. Smith. Because
oh, really?
You know who Mr. Smith
yeah,
is?
Yeah, yeah, okay. yeah.
So he's...
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's done more voiceover work.
You've seen Mr. Smith.
In the Sarah Jane Adventures, he was the... there was... She had like a computer
oh,
helper.
Yeah.
That was Mr. Smith.
Okay, yes, we saw that in the finale of David Tennant of Donna's season.
Right, there was the two episodes where Sarah Jane... From her show showed up
no, it was
with Mr. Smith.
Everybody showed up.
Yeah, basically.
Everybody
Where they towed the Earth across the galaxy.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, that's why the TARDIS has six sides, because he needs six operators.
I did enjoy that.
I totally, you know, when the first time I saw that, I'm like, my head exploded. Yeah. I'm like, this makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It's how you properly drive a TARDIS.
And that's why it doesn't make that noise.
No, it's because they had the parking brake on.
Oh,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah. and okay, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe references.
Yes.
Okay, I have eight of them here.
Oh, really?
Well, one, the title.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Duh. The children going to a country home to escape the bombing in London.
Yes.
Okay. The Doctor refers to his wardrobe to his TARDIS as a wardrobe.
I guess that's three.
Uh huh. That snow-covered woods on the other side of the box, like in the wardrobe.
Yes, yes.
That's four. Time moves differently on the other side of the box.
That's true.
Oh,
it
that's
did.
True. Yeah.
Uh huh. The door knocker on the house made of tree resembled a lion.
Oh, did it? I didn't notice that.
Okay. Well, because it was in my little trivia, I was like paying attention. I'm like, yeah, it's a lion.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so, you know, spirits of the trees in Narnia were also sentient.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
And then this one, the daughter, the Lily, was originally named Lucy in the script.
Oh.
But then they're like, yeah, that's a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
How is it more on the nose than just naming the episode The Doctor, the Widow,
and
the Wardrobe?
Calling her Lucy, so at the very last minute before they started filming, it's they changed
Lily,
her to Lily.
Whatever.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. This is the, should we keep doing the unsung crew member of the episode?
I enjoy that.
Thank you. Yes. Good. Like, we'll keep doing it.
I mean, I've said I enjoyed it in the past.
No, I know.
But apparently, it's
I'm
me who
it
really
right now.
Pushes
well,
it over the edge.
Well, we're going to start a new season.
My opinion
season.
Does count for more.
I know.
Right. I know. Well, she's you know, we're minor level. You know, so I didn't know if we'd keep doing it for this series. So.
Well, that's fine.
Okay,
well, you know what, John? Listen to your heart.
It's kind of like squeaky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's my heart, I assume, because it's full of, like, gravy. So, today's unsung crew member of the episode. I went with a dude this time, so last time I went with a chick.
Okay.
It's his name's Gaffin. Gaffin Riley.
Gaffin Riley.
On this episode, he was an electrician.
Yes.
But he generally does camera and electrical department work.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay. So, he worked on Series 2 of Torchwood.
Okay.
Okay. He worked on one episode of Sherlock.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The one where it was called His Last Vow. That's the one where, like, Sherlock killed, like, Elon Musk, basically.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Like, remember his, like, house palace?
The memory palace.
Yeah. The one that were, like, you know.
That's kind of where it went off the rails for me.
Yeah, a little
and
bit.
Then we came back for a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, but which was kind of, like, weird.
Which took place in Victorian times.
Yeah, because, like, because Sherlock was
that
high
was
as
a
fuck.
Pretty good episode.
That's true.
Yeah,
but still.
You have to forgive the conceit, but it was a pretty good episode.
Yeah.
Anyway.
In 2018... he worked on the movie Show Dogs.
I don't know
with
what that
Will
is.
Arnett.
Oh, okay.
And Ludacris playing the voice of his dog.
I do not know that movie, but I wish I did.
This is from last year, people. This happened.
Okay. Well, Will Arnett needs stuff to do between Lego Batman movies, so, you know.
Yeah, and like, you know, until the next Arrested Development reunion or something.
I'm hoping it dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He worked on season 2 of The Big Family Cooking Showdown.
I don't know what
it's
that
on
means.
Netflix. So, okay. If you know, hey, people, if you need your, like, Great British Bake Off, like, fix, and you can't find it on Netflix, the Big Family Cooking Showdown, it's so delightful and charming. These people are very...
Have you actually watched it?
Oh, yeah. I've watched both seasons. It's delightful.
Okay.
Yeah. So, he did good work. And he worked on 35 episodes of Doctor Who.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Starting, like, in
John's
season
about to
four,
list all of them.
I am not.
Okay.
He worked from season 4 through the end of season 8.
Wow.
Okay.
So, but like, you know, kind of like sporadic. He didn't work like consecutively, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. Because he was probably also working on Torchwood.
I wonder how electricians and gaffers actually get their gigs. It's not like you have to audition for that shit.
I assume it's you get in the union and then
yeah,
you
and
get
then
it.
You just go.
Probably.
Go wherever they tell you to go.
Yeah.
You know, all the stuff that was listed also on his CV and, like, didn't make any sense to me, but it's probably, like, stuff like, you know, Spitzbot Tish Tosh, you know, Series 5, you know, whatever, because he worked for the BBC and then they had to put him in there, you know. Yeah, that's all I got for this.
Well, cool.
Yeah. Anything else about this here
episode? Aren't you going to salute him? You always salute him.
I salute you, Gaffin Riley.
Yeah.
Did you want to salute him, Denise?
Cheers, Gaffin Riley.
Cheers, Gaffin Riley. We're still drinking. Steve segue to water.
Well, Steve's a very responsible human being.
No, Steve's the only one who's got to drive in a little bit.
We're in my home, so I can get fucked up as possible.
Yeah.
I don't own a car.
Steve's her Uber.
I did try to get it in the back seat when he came to pick me up.
Was it just like you just couldn't help yourself?
It was just habit.
Was he even like trying to be funny?
No.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm like, what is going on? What happened?
What was it, the red car?
Yeah.
Yeah. The hybrid.
Yeah.
So you both your cars are hybrids,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're pretending we're helping.
You're helpers. So Steve.
Yeah.
Not knowing anything about what the next episode's gonna be about.
Oh shit.
Which is going to be series 7, episode 1.
Yeah.
A next one.
First off, we saw Rory and Amy reunite, yes. So I know they're going to be the companions for at least part of the season.
Because yes. It feels
because
so
they've
good.
They've been companions for 2 full seasons now.
And nobody gets more than...
So I assume that there's going to be a change during the season. I don't know that for sure, but I assume sometime during the season.
Well, you do know the season is basically
I do know the season is split in half, so that is a good, like... Big,
indicator.
You know, well, it's a good big, like, season, half-season ender,
yes.
Mid-season
yes.
Finale yes. Kind of thing, is to basically, like, I assume they're going to kill them, but they won't make it. Anyway, John, what's the thing?
It's called Asylum of the Daleks.
That's so good.
All right, so I've heard rumor that it's good.
So good.
So... Asylum of the Daleks. So, I've got the Genesis of the Daleks.
I know, right?
Six-parter
so we have Genesis
in my
of the Daleks,
brain.
There's Remembrance of the Daleks. Now we have Asylum of the Daleks.
All right, so
there's Dalek of the Daleks.
So Asylum of the Daleks is the Doctor decides, you know what, let's have a fun little adventure to Amy and Rory. Like, let's our reunion adventure. Let's go find River Song. So they try to find River Song, and what they do is they end up finding her, but she is on some weird planet that is basically the Daleks' home base, where they're basically hiding and amassing their numbers to go do on their whole, like, genocide, wacky genocide kids show fun. They've got River Song for some reason, and they go in and they rescue her, and then everybody travels happily ever after, but we spend the day with the Daleks. Did we have a Dalek-heavy episode in the last season? I think they just showed up once briefly in the season finale.
I don't think finale. He did, yeah.
He, like, questioned one, like, interrogated one in the season finale, I think.
Yeah, I think that was basically it for the Daleks. Because before the season prior to that, we had the, we salute you, Nazi Daleks.
Yeah, the World War II Daleks. So this one, basically, Daleks are amassing their power on a special planet, and they're about to, like, launch an offensive, and they've kidnapped River Song because she was, like, trying to stop them, and then Amy, Rory, and the Doctor rescue her and defeat the Daleks.
Cool.
Prescient.
I don't know why it's prescient,
Paint
but okay.
Knowing everything you know about this episode.
Yes.
Can you come up with a different version of this episode?
Sure.
For Asylum of the Daleks,
Asylum
which will be episode of 98
Daleks.
Of Drunkter Who.
Oh, I did that bad that you're...
No, I'm not. I'm just I want to include her a little more.
So...
Okay.
Let's see.
So basically, I know this isn't going to happen.
No, I didn't say it isn't.
You did.
So they travel back into, like, 1650s... in London,
ooh.
Where they have all those Looney Tune houses that are really evil, and they torture all their patients, and there's a Dalek in there.
What?
Wait, they have Looney Tune houses?
Well, you know, the asylums in the Middle Ages.
I thought you meant like little houses that would bounce up and down.
No.
Where Dracula's assistant was it?
Yeah.
Ro? Renfield.
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 I don't know what century I'm talking about, but, you know, in
so
the
So back
past,
in the 17th century.
Yes, where
Daleks
the,
are there.
The crazy houses.
Right,
where,
right when Oliver, right before Oliver Cromwell takes
yes.
everything to shit.
When they're all super evil and everything, there's a Dalek in there, and it's a twist because the Doctor goes into, and Amy and Rory go into... try to free the Dalek because they have empathy and they're,
uh-huh.
you know, human beings. But it turns out the Dalek is actually the mastermind of the evil that is the asylum.
Ooh.
Yeah, and he's got, like, a whole bunch of partners, so it's like a whole Dalek asylum.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, and they're torturing everybody for nefarious ends, which I don't remember, obviously.
Well, okay.
I want to do hers.
No. Okay. So, all right.
That sounds so much better.
So, my Asylum of the Daleks is that Doctor takes Rory and Amy back
to when?
Well, he makes a little mistake, and it's during the genesis of the Daleks.
Yes.
So they're trying to not get in the way. It's like that special episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where they went back and saw the Tribbles.
Oh, I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So it's like, Amy has on like a 1970s outfit.
Yes.
Rory's got an ascot.
Rory would look good in an ascot.
Can I just call bullshit on this really quick?
The doctor has an afro again.
We just watched Genesis of the Daleks, and there were two women on that entire planet. Karen Gillan would stick out.
No, but she was in the background, Steve.
Okay. She was dressed like a dude.
So they, like, they...
Fake mustache.
They green screened her in there. So it's like, so while the doctors are trying to kill slash save the Daleks, kill Davros slash save Davros, who knows... But then, like, Amy and Rory are just like, this is wild and wacky. And they're doing karate chops and, like, you know, doing Venusian kajudo and stuff like that. And then, like, then they end up, like, just kind of, like, going to a disco afterwards.
Yeah.
It's disco Daleks, baby.
I still like Denise's better.
Yeah, right, though. That's actually what happens.
I hope.
Totally what happens. So let's see who's more writer next time, people. Special guest star slash premium subscriber slash Romana Nuvatrulonian, yes. Denise.
What? Please give to the Tree Blindness Foundation.
Yes. You know, wait. Do that again.
Please give to the Tree Blindness Foundation.
Give to the tree.
So, I really, that's like the worst Sarah McLachlan impression I've ever heard.
No, I'm Adele. I'm a little chunkier than her. Okay.
Only a little.
So, all right, cool. So I'll try to remember what Denise said for when you ask me in the next episode what's going to be on this episode.
Back to the Middle Ages.
I do like the way she used the word asylum. Damn.
Yes, going back in time.
All right.
So maybe they were trying to get asylum from the doctor.
No, it doesn't.
Maybe they were like Daleks who want to be good.
Oh.
Ooh, I know. Good Daleks. It's like, doctor, help us.
So, yeah.
We want to be good.
That's kind of what
Wink, nudge.
Asylum.
Kind of what I was...
Wait, did you just dab? You just strike dabbing.
I raised the roof.
Oh, you were kind of... From this angle, look, you're dabbing almost.
All right, let's be done.
So, thank you for listening. As always, I'm John.
And I'm Steve.
And you are...
Denise.
Special guest star of the episode, Denise.
Right.
Oh, wait, did we have any, like, viewer mail or anything?
Oh, we did.
Oh.
I don't have it in front of me, but I can. Tim actually sent us an article from the Chicago Tribune. Friend of the show, podcast intern, San Diego Comic-Con correspondent, Tim.
Comic-Con correspondent. Correspondent, Tim.
An article from the Tribune basically saying...
Tribune?
Yes, the Chicago Tribune.
Oh.
Basically saying happy or have some safe holiday hijinks. And it was an article saying it was a challenge for true Chicagoans. Some place downtown was giving you a shot of Malort and a shot of like Jardinera.
Oh, God.
Like
I'd go with the fucking Jardinera.
I'd go with the Malort.
It was both.
Oh, you had it with both?
I think so. I really apologize, Tim. I read this a long time ago, like a couple weeks ago when you sent it in, several weeks ago. So I apologize if I'm paraphrasing it wrong, but that's from what I remember. Basically, hey, you get an Italian beef and a little shot of Jardinera as meat sauce and... meat juice and a shot of Malort.
Is there still time to do this, Steve?
Maybe.
No, thank you.
Oh, wait. You said you'd do the Malort.
I do the Malort. I'm not doing it with Jardinera juice.
Well, Jardinera juice or just Jardinera?
Dude, I don't remember.
Well, I just assume the juice it has been steeping in.
Yeah, I believe so.
What? And Malort is preferable to that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
it is.
It's like drinking pickle juice.
I've learned a lot more about Denise.
So I apologize for not having that ready to read, Tim, and that I just am trying to remember something I read like a month ago.
Yeah, that's all right.
Thank you for writing in. If anyone else would like to write in at drunkdrwho@gmail.com or reach out on Twitter at SR Dolan or at drunkdrwho or at Denise, I'm a guest on drunkdrwho.
Yes. I'm not giving you my real Twitter address.
I think you did in a previous one.
Did I?
Yeah.
No one knows.
Did you edit it out?
It's, no, I didn't.
No one cares. That's no cool. one cares.
That's real.
Yeah, you got thousands of listeners from that.
All right, let's be done.
You. Wait, but first, no, it's Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. Come the fuck on, Steve. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
And a happy Hanukkah
with Kwanzaa. What the fuck is wrong with you, Steve?
He's just laughing at us.
I have song blindness.
Do you see colors when we sing, Steve?
All I hear is Charlie Brown's teacher. Just she's yelling at me right now for some reason. Well, there you go. Well, that sounded like happy birthday.
Wah-wah.
All right.
Wah-wah.
Let's be done. Bye. You to be comfortable.
Thank you.
So we are recording.
Oh shit! I forgot.
Hello.
My notes are all. What episode is this? Oh, I don't. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm He's so young, young and spry.
I'm the young spry one.
You are.
My notes.
No, I figured I could just like kind of roll over.
So we'll do our thing.
All right.
And we do appreciate you doing this.
Oh, yeah. No problem. I enjoyed doing the Christmas episode.
Thank you.
I like how you qualify it. Like, don't ask me to do more of this bullshit.
No. I assumed that I am only allowed to do the Christmas episode.
I can do more.
You know what?
But
if there is one that you remember that you would really like to do, you can. Don't have to think of it now.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you don't even want to like talk. You just want to like just sit there in the back and giggle every now and then.
We just hear every once in a while, I rolled my eyes.
McClunky.
Okay. Let me check how the levels.
It's not at all.
You guys sound like you to me. Right. I sound like a nasally fuck.
And I'm sure I sound like my voice is like this.
That's exactly
well,
it.
Well, and what I discovered after doing this stupid podcast is I realized, oh, I have a slight sibilant S.
Yeah.
And also, I pronounce
the
word room weird.
You do.
See?
Oh, you what? Do. I've always thought you did. Room.
I pronounce the word room weird.
Room.
Now you're just over
you say it
enunciating.
With roof, too.
Roof? And rum.
Roof and rum.
Room. Room.
I just... Heidi makes fun of me for it. Whatever.
How do you say cow juice?
I don't say cow milk. Juice.
What do you say?
I say milk.
What do you say?
Milk.
What do you say?
Milk.
Okay.
What do you say?
Well, I'm, I used to say milk.
He says soda.
Milk.
I say soda pop.
So yeah, I that's what I've learned from doing this ridiculous podcast.
That Steve likes to go to a rum somewhere.
Yeah, whatever.
Rum.
Well, I'm gonna start.
All right.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. Welcome to ho ho ho. Now it's a start. Now I'm starting.